So my mom and I were in this discussion yesterday about, I don't know if anybody's been receiving all the emails about all the hackers that have been hacking all these different big financial institutions and insurance companies. It's like every other week we get an email saying, oh, your name was in and your information was in this list. And we were talking back and forth, and she's like, yeah, I got another one today from, I think of my dad's retirement fund. From Safeway had gotten, that information had gotten hacked. And anyway, so we were just talking, and she's like, well, that's why I pray. And I said, Mom, wait. I said, no, that's why you tithe. Are you listening to me? That's why you tithe. That's why you tithe, Redeemed Church. That's why you tell people they need to tithe. Why? Because the promise is, if you do, he will... Who's he? God. God himself will rebuke the devourer. You know what that means? That means when your name is in a long list of something that's been hacked, all of a sudden your name disappears on that list. Oh, blood. They're under the blood. Why? Because they're my kids. They tithe. No. You don't get this information. You don't get their money. No, you don't get this. You don't get that. Do you think that the Lord just goes, okay, here you go. You can take whatever. No, absolutely not. Let's read it for ourselves this morning. And we're in Malachi 3. I know we've done this a lot, but we need to get this in our brains that this is where this translates over into is real life. This is real life. In verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storeroom, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now in this, saith the Lord. If I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Or one translation says, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Somebody say amen. That's the blessing. But here it comes, verse 11. And I, the Lord, will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. First he says, I. Then he says something at the end. The Lord of hosts, in case anybody had any question who I is, it's the Lord of hosts that is speaking, right? So it's kind of like that added oomph, right? And I had this picture in my mind of what the Lord does with our finances when we're tithers. And so, you see this picture up here? I had a different one. Lacey told me I couldn't put it up there. But so you see this car right here? That's a presidential car. So right there is a president. See all those cars behind? Those are also security. But are you seeing these men that are walking around right here? Okay, so now I want you to picture your finances. Maybe you have a bill. And maybe you do it online, maybe you go to the bank, or maybe you mail it in. Okay, see these men right here? That's the heavenly host with your finances. And so when you put that in the mailbox, you don't have to ask yourself, oh, Lord, I hope it's going to make it. I hope it's going to make it, Lord. I hope it's going to. No, stop that. You are a tither. Father, I thank you. Here's my bill. Angels, are you ready? Okay, there it goes. And he walks it, or they walk it to wherever it's going. This is the protection that I'm talking about. This is the protection I'm talking about as a tither. We need to stop seeing angels with little wings and chubby bottoms, right? No. They're bigger than this. They're more dangerous than this. And they are in charge of watching over your finances because you are a tither. Well, the economy, the bottom's falling out. Not my bottom. No. The floor is not coming out from under me. Absolutely not. Why? Because I am a tither and I am protected. Oh, you got one guard? No, absolutely not. When he says he rebukes the devourer, do you know what that's not like? Okay, so he's not a mom. Are you listening to me? It's not a mom. Are you listening to me? Stay away from her money. Stay away from her money. No, it's a dad. Hey, back off. Right? Because a dad carries more authority than a mom. I'm sorry to say. He carries more authority than a mom. My dad, it used to be a look. He didn't even have to say anything. It was just that. And you knew, man. It was over when you got home. Right? Guess what? The Lord can give the devil a look. Back off. He doesn't have to say it. Right? Because he's rebuking. The idea is when he opens his mouth, it's this whoosh. This authority that goes forward that says, stay away. Don't come near. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. We need to be praying for those who try to come against our money. Are you listening to me? Because when you are a tither and someone touches the money of someone who is a tither, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. When someone comes in to try to kill, steal, and destroy your finances, Lord, I forgive them and help them to come to some understanding with you and get this right before the judgment of the Lord falls. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know what? The amazing part is when you trust in him with your finances and you give your tithe, even if someone thinks they're trying to steal from you, guess what? They really can't. They really can't. Because you know what? God has endless resources. And if this person thinks they're taking from you, all of a sudden you have finances coming in from all over. Well, what is all this? The Lord's saying, don't you worry about that. I got this. I got this. I'll make sure that your coffers are full. They thought they were going to do something to you, but they're not doing anything to you. Do you see the picture here? You are protected. Say, I am protected as a tither. And my finances are protected as well. Devil, back off. And that's the attitude you need to have. That's the attitude you need to have about your finances, is the devil cannot touch them. You are a tither. There is a covenant that happens. And God himself is backing this. The Lord of hosts. You see something in your finances that looks a little funny, say, oh, Lord of hosts, I'm a tither. Can you see what's right here? Something's being stolen from me. And he gets on it. Why? Because you're reminding him of his promise to you, and he is faithful to that promise. Aren't you so glad that we don't have to do this on our own? John 17:11 says this. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, protect them by the power of your name. We have an Old Testament covenant, and then we have a New Testament covenant. Protect them by the power of your name. By the power of your name. By the power of your name. This is not a wimpy thing. This is a powerful source. And honestly, these guys probably don't even really make up the amount of angels that are with our finances. I'm just saying. I wanted to get a picture in your mind when you're dealing with your finances and when you're sending things out or when you're getting those emails that say that this has been hacked or this has been stolen or this is this. You just look at it and laugh. Not mine. Nope. I'm a tither, so I'm covered. Amen? Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for your faithfulness to your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are protecting our finances. And this day and age we live in, there is just, I don't know that there's anything that's safe outside of tithing. And so I thank you, Father, that as tithers, we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid of the emails or the texts or the phone calls or the letters in the mail that have said this has been hacked or that's been hacked or your information has been put out there, whatever. Not mine. Not mine. And Father, I pray that we would have that. That would instantly be the words out of our mouths when this happens. Not mine. I'm a tither, Lord. I'm reminding you, waving my banner over here. I'm a tither, so I'm protected. And my money's protected. And my information's protected. and my family's protected. It just keeps going and going and going because I am a tither. I have a canopy of protection over me and mine. And Father, I thank you today for every person in this room that the enemy has stolen, not people, because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but the enemy has stolen money. I don't care if it's $2 or $2 million. I thank you today we forgive them. We forgive them. We don't want to be caught in unforgiveness, so we forgive them, Father. And we ask that they would have a change of heart in their lives so that they don't reap consequences from you. I thank you, Father, for every stolen amount of money that has been taken from this body for any reason. Today it is being returned plus. Devil owes us interest on what was stolen. And so I thank you, Father. It says sevenfold. When a thief has been caught, he has to pay back sevenfold. So I'm expecting sevenfold blessings, even if it's not from the person that took from us, God. You are returning those finances to us because we're tithers. We have that right to ask that. And so today I thank you, Father. Go out to the north, south, east, and the west angels. Bring in those finances to our hands in Jesus' name. Even ones that we forgot about. That when that money comes in, you're going to remind us. You remember when? Do you remember when? Do you remember? But Lord, that was 30 years ago. Doesn't matter. Today's the day. We found out. We know the truth. So now we call it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We are blessed to be a blessing. That is stuff we weren't even counting on, God, that when it comes in, you're going to show us what to do with it, Father. And we will be faithful stewards of the finances that you put in our hands. And we give you all the praise and all the glory today for all the things you're doing, but especially, Lord, for the protection we have in you with our finances because we're tithers. And we say it is done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen. Well, you know, the church is pretty much just full of good news, right? Yeah. If we're on God's side, I mean, yesterday we traveled down to Eugene and watched the Ducks play Oklahoma State. And for Duck fans, it was good news. For Oklahoma State fans, not so much. One mom, really classy lady, just dressed up to the hilt in Oklahoma State earrings, and she comes walking up the stairs, and some of the people in our section were sipping, you know, beers and stuff. They were behaving, but a little bit loose, and they start talking to her, Oklahoma State, and she goes, listen, I'm a mom, and right now I need a drink. That's what she said. Oh, for the Ducks, it was good news yesterday. But the other team, how many are glad you're on the winning team in Jesus Christ, right? Now, some people, they take, me included at times, take sports way too seriously, right? How many know whether somebody wins or loses has no determination at all of where I'm spending eternity, right? But we've chosen Jesus. Amen. I believe everyone in this room, you've chosen Jesus Christ, and he is the coach, the owner, the general manager of the greatest team in the history of the universe. And somebody say, I'm on his team. And I was watching those games yesterday, and there were two really good coaches on the team, on the field, both those guys. One was better yesterday. Right? But how many know, with God, he is the winner. Amen. And even Friday night, I watched another game on the YouTube channel. Had a game. It was kind of weird. But at the end, Cam Newton was one of the spokesmen. He's a retired football player, too. And he was talking with his co-host. And he was like, tell me, co-host, what do you think happened out there? Do you think the Chargers won the game? Or would you say Kansas City lost the game? And she said, both happened, right? And I know Cam Newton's a believer, and I was like, guys, I think it would be so great to be, the more I heard him talk, the more I like him, you know? And I know he's a believer. I was like, wouldn't it be great to be in a Bible study with Cam Newton? And he always wears these crazy hats and things, you know, and I could hear him say, Steve, what do you think happened? Do you think God won? Or do you think the devil choked and lost? And the answer would be both. Glory to God. Amen. Well, we're on the winning team. And we win. No matter how my body feels right now, I win. No matter what my check account says, I win. Somebody say, I win. Because I've chosen Jesus. I was in line yesterday, you know. I pull for the Oregon teams, I do, and I chose to go to a Ducks game yesterday. Well, the Beavers, Oregon State, were playing at the same time. And they're just miles apart from each other. So I-5 was jam-packed with flags from either team, right? Well, we stopped at a gas station to get a snack and use the restroom and all that. Too personal, I know. But I needed something that represented the game. I didn't have anything. So I found a hat. I wanted something with the duck on it, right? So I found a green hat with the duck, and I walked back in line, and I noticed this gentleman in line with a polo shirt, Beavers, right? And I said, hey, listen, this is nothing personal. I'm not really invested. I like both teams. He's like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We get it. But he's like, good luck next week at Penn State, by the way. Right? But he gets up there and he's like, you know what? I just stopped here to buy a Powerball ticket. You know, he's like, I know I'm not going to win, but $20, you never know. You never know. Somebody say, you don't have to take eternity like a Powerball ticket. Where you just gamble with it. And act like, you know what? Maybe we can just guess everything's going to turn out okay. If I do enough good things and not do enough bad things, then maybe I got a chance. How many know with Jesus, you don't have to live on the side of chance? Because you chose him. Somebody say, I choose him. I choose him. And it's a daily choice. I know we joked about this earlier, but because we didn't have service last week, we gave it a rest day. I know none of you woke up Monday morning and said, I can sin for the next 2 weeks because there's no church. No, 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 no. Why? Because you've chosen Jesus as Lord of your life. You're grown-up Christians, right? You know how to feed yourself. You know how to go to the refrigerator and open it and find something to eat and feed yourself and stay faithful to the faithful one. Amen? Somebody say, I'm on the winning team. Glory to God. Well, we're going to be ministering on a topic over the next weeks ahead, as far as I know, called the eighth day. Somebody say the eighth day. And this has a lot to do with the nation of Israel. It has to do with prophecy. It has to do with the Word of God. We are entering into a time of really the most appropriate time of the year to say happy holidays. Right? We think holidays, Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, New Year's, 4th of July, which are great. But these holidays are like Bible holidays. Some people say, oh, Jewish holidays. No, these are biblical holidays. Right? Amen? And I did a series a few years ago, maybe, I don't know if it was even that long ago, called God's Calendar, and it's on YouTube. So this is kind of an addition to that. I didn't know this was coming, but the Lord showed me something, and when he shows me something, I feel that I need to show you what he's showing me. In terms of everything that we could focus on right now, I felt led to this, all right? So Revelation chapter 21, you can open your Bibles to that, and then your other place will be 2 Peter chapter 3. Somebody say the eighth day. I can tell you, I just have a sense that our great Heavenly Father is so excited about the eighth day. He's excited about everything, right? But about us coming home and all these kind of things. But there's something supernatural and special about this thing called the eighth day. But our foundation text is Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And this is also, you know, our prophetic word for the year for our church. We haven't really touched on it much this year. Let's see if I can even find it. But it has to do with the word newness. Yeah. checking it out here. Newness of life is our theme for the year, right? Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Somebody say, newness of life. Amen. For any who have lived the past 5 years, this is from the word of the Lord, I felt stirred in me for the theme for our year. For any who have lived in the past 5 years asking, where are you, Lord? I believe 2025 will be the year and beyond and beyond. Somebody say and beyond, right? Where he says to those who have stood in faith despite adversity, he says, here I am. Glory to God, right? Newness of life. Well, here we are. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5a, the first part of the verse. And it says, then he who sat on the throne. Now, let's just stop right there. If everything goes somewhere in a handbasket, this doesn't change. It doesn't mean just because some challenge is going on in my life or some issues going on in our country or this person's doing some crazy thing or that person's. This does not change ever. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. Doesn't matter who's the representative in our region. Doesn't matter who's in the pulpit. Doesn't matter who's the quarterback. Oh, we saw the third string quarterback last night. Because you know why? Because it was 69-3. And we just loved it. I wasn't there to watch any certain guy. I was there to see the ducks. One thing. A flock of ducks. And the third string guy got his shot, and he took a shot, man. I mean, his helmet flew off, and oh, we were like, ah, oh, that poor kid. Right? Amen. Well, no matter what happens, God is on the throne. He's in charge. Amen. And somebody say, I want to be first string. Well, Jesus, we are first string. He saved his people that he wanted at the very end of time for a reason. And it's a good reason. Somebody say, he's on the throne. Day 8. Oh, I don't want to get ahead. All right. Then he who sat on the throne said, guess what? He talks. He talks. Ever seen that movie Charlotte Webb when the pig gets all excited and he sings, I can talk, I can talk, I can talk, 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 I can talk. Some people think God doesn't talk. He's smarter than a talking pig. He's real. He speaks. He speaks. He talks. This word, this book is full of his speech and his talking. And he speaks to us through his spirit, and he speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us through blonde-haired guys with crooked shirts on Sunday mornings. Or whoever he chooses. Somebody say, he speaks. He's on the throne, and yet he still speaks. Wouldn't it be cool to get a phone call from President Trump right now? We should have a red phone right here. How many know we got something better? It's called the direct line to our Heavenly Father. All day, every day, all night, he's right there. And even better than that, he's right on the inside of us. He dwells on the inside of us through faith by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And he speaks. Somebody say he speaks. And he speaks to me. He speaks with me. Glory to God forevermore. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. My fleshy side would say, I've had it with the filth and the vile and the curse on this planet. I'm done. It's over. You've had your chance to choose, and you either chose me or you did not. And it's over. Welcome to day 8. If you'll notice, 8 is never ending. We're talking about eternity. Eternity is day 8. Glory to God. And all these things are written in the feasts of the Lord. They truly are, right? Revelation 21, I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 8. This is John, right? Now I saw a new heaven, somebody say a new heaven, and a new earth. He's not talking about heaven where God resides. He's talking about the heavens, the sky, and the, right? He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had done what? They had passed away, right? Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Somebody say the holy city, right? The new Jerusalem, the new what? Not the new LA, not the new Portland, not the new Paris. The new Jerusalem. What does God think of Israel still right now from his throne? My people, my land, my choice. Right? Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. No more, God is saying. No more! Right? Nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, somebody say, he said to me. John is sharing this with us because he's saying this to us. How many know this book is full of things that have happened, prophetically have happened, and there's also some things that have not yet happened. So because they have not yet happened, does that mean he is deaf or absent or a figment of our imagination? Oh, no. Like Shelley was talking about her dad when he gave that look. My dad had that look, too. When I got in trouble, done some dumb thing somewhere, he'd just look at me and go, that's one. I want to stop there. I want to stop there, right? And perhaps, if I'm real nice, maybe he will forget by the time we get home. How many know our God has not forgotten his promise, his word, his timing, right? And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water. We're going to talk some more about the fountain of water in this message, this series. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my daughter, of course, too, right? But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Jesus tells us, be more concerned about avoiding the second death, which is spiritual death. These are serious things to look at, right? But the word new is defined in the concordance as words like fresh, recent, unused, unknown, or unworn, superior to what it succeeds, of a new kind, unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of. And it's in reference to both time and quality. Somebody say, things are getting better. The better is coming. Heaven is going to take over this planet. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And when it talks about, verse 3, it talks about the tabernacle of God is with men. This is key. This is a key thing that we're looking at in connection with day 8. Everybody say day 8, right? Tabernacle means a tent, a tabernacle made of boughs or skins or other materials. There is a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. Is that President Trump calling? He might have a question. Let's see this guy. It's all good. It's all good. Somebody say, God bless President Trump. Hallelujah. And Lord, help Mr. Biden too, and Ms. Harris, and Mr. Bush, and Mr. Obama, all of them, save them, heal them, deliver them, right? But oh, how I praise the Lord for President Trump, and Vice President Vance, and House Speaker Johnson, and all the good guys and the good gals that are in places of authority. We rejoice, and we stay engaged, right? Because we could hear a message like this and just think, well, what's it matter then? Because God's just going to show up and do all. No, we have a part to play. We have to stay engaged. Hallelujah. The miracles on the mountain meeting, we were just talking about Billy Burke. People's faith were involved. Is it God's will to heal? Yes, but you have to believe and receive it and act on the word, right? Same way with this. Amen. Hallelujah. But God's divine timeline. There's a calendar of biblical holidays, and they're divine reminders. This is why the devil has worked so hard to create a separation between the church and Israel. That a Christian could look at a calendar and think, oh, that's a Yom Kippur. What is that? Rosh Hashanah? What in the world is that? Some Jewish thing? Those people God rejected? No. Somebody say no. Nonsense. We need to have a level of understanding about these things. Amen? And you can look at Leviticus 23 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible because it literally lists every one of these key holidays and just in sequential order. It's right there in the Word of God. And I'm just going to briefly review this. Like I said, you can go back online to our YouTube page, and it's called God's Calendar. It's on there. There's like, I don't know, 7 messages or 8 messages on there, going through each one in some detail, right? But every week, there's a reminder. It's called Sabbath, right? And we know the Word of God says, we're talking specifically about God's time frame. To God, the Word says, we'll look at this in a minute, but a day is as 1,000 years. So why did He make it 7 days in a week? Because in 7,000 years, it's over. Every single week is a reminder that He's coming back, so be ready. Somebody say, be ready. Hallelujah. The Sabbath, the seventh day. Every spring, so we have every week, now we have every spring. We have Passover, which reminds me He died for me. Jesus is the Passover lamb. First fruits, which reminds me He rose again for me. He's the first fruits from the dead. That's why when believers pass away, we don't have to grieve and mourn like the world does, because we know they're with Him, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why? Because He already rose first. Glory to God. First fruits reminds us of that. And then Pentecost. He baptized me in the Holy Ghost, harvest. He died, He rose again, and He sent the Holy Ghost. All of those things have been completed. We should be very much right in the middle of all of that. Because we know He died, we know He rose, and we received the Holy Ghost. Somebody say that. He died, He rose, and I received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're in this thing that many call the church age right now. But the fall, which right now at the time of this message, we're entering into September, the fall season reminds us of the fall feasts, which are prophetic in nature. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. What's that remind us of? Rapture. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. There'll be a holy convocation in the clouds with God and His family. Right? The next one. So somebody say, He's coming for me. That's what Rosh Hashanah reminds us for. Right? Now, whether He comes for you in the rapture or we lay down and depart from our body and we pass and go by way of the grave, He's coming for you. Either we're going to Him or He's coming for us. I've heard Jesse DePlantis say it that way. I like that. Right? Yom Kippur, or this is the Day of Atonement, the second one, means we're coming back with him. We're gone for 7 years. The tribulation period happens. These crazy psychedelic nations come to try to take Israel over again. The devil just has this craziness about killing Israel. Right? And that's about to happen, and we all come back with him. Day of Atonement, Day of the Lord. There's a battle that lasts about as long as lightning strikes. One of the games I was watching the other night, they had to pause it for an hour or something because lightning struck. And everybody cleared. Ah! This is a serious thing. Serious. That fast. Billy Brim taught that during this particular time of year in the fall, just happens to be when birds of prey are migrating through Israel. That there the eagles will gather. I've heard stories about eagles in our region here in the Northwest along the Columbia River. I've heard in the pest control industry, I've had people tell me that their neighbors or someone they know have had their little yappy, those little mini like poodles. Like there was one story that an eagle walked strutting along the fence, the dog's yapping, and the eagle just like, I've had enough. Picked that dog up, went up into the sky and dropped it. Another one they were telling me about, they had to go and move an eagle's nest, and when they got up there, it was full of little flea collars. Eagles! We salute the bald eagle around here. We love, but man, you do not want to mess with the bald eagle. It's like you don't want to mess with our military, right? It's a reminder to the devil. But this fall season, the Day of Atonement, reminds us that he's coming back. The first one, nobody, where'd they all go? The second coming, here he comes. And there's scriptures that talk about not everybody's happy about it. You think that how crazy people went when Donald Trump got reelected? Just think when Jesus shows up with Abraham Lincoln and with Martin Luther King Jr. and with my grandmother. Oh, man, forget these other people. When Grandma Bean gets, she's going to get her a switch and be looking for the devil. Look out. I mean, that's just a few people we're talking about. All of us to set up rule and reign on this planet for 1,000 years. Right? And the crux of all this is time. We're right at the cusp of the end of the 6,000th year on the Jewish calendar within, like, I don't know, less than 200 years. But again, the board says don't try to name, you'll know the season, but you don't try to pick a date and all that kind of crazy stuff. But the point is, we are very close to the return of Jesus for his people, which will be followed by 7 years of tribulation and then the Day of Atonement, where we all come back and set up the kingdom of Jesus on the planet. And we will rule and reign with him. Why, if Jesus is in charge on the planet, why do we have to rule and reign? Because there'll be people here still that hate him, that lived through all that other stuff, but just are like, hey, we're not good with this, keep that over there. And then, right? Now, this is all very interesting things to ponder and think about. We're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. No more drugs. Sickness will be a thing of the past for those who want healing. It says that people that die at 100 years old will be thought of as a child during that time. Can you imagine this? This is truth. Right? No more pornography. No more abusing children. Because God and Jesus and his family are here on the planet in charge. Ruling and reigning for 1,000-year period. So that's the Day of Atonement. Well, this next one is the thing that the Lord brought me to for this particular message series, right? Because the Feast of Tabernacles is at the end of these fall feasts. Somebody say Feast of Tabernacles, right? And that reminds us what's called Sukkot. is the word for it as well. But that's the all things new portion. Because at the end of that 1,000 years, the other thing that happens at the beginning, you know this, you Christians, right? You studied your Bible. The devil is incarcerated for 1,000 years, locked up. And people still hate him. Without a devil. Somebody say, just because there's no devil doesn't mean there's no free will or tradition. But at the end of that 1,000-year period, he's released for a short time so that all those who have already chosen him can just go with him. And God steps in at that time. We just kind of step. He's got no chance against us. I mean, it's like the ducks in Montana State. No offense to Montana State, okay? You know what I'm saying? There's not a chance. But the Father now. See, this is about the Father. The Father says, family, this is my place to step in now. And when he puts his foot down on this planet, the place burns. He said, if you remember the time of Noah, and he said, I promise, read the fine print, I promise I'll never do this again with water. He did not say anything about fire. Glory to God. I mean, that's our Heavenly Father. That's how much he loves us. His judgment and his mercy sometimes happen simultaneously. Right? Amen. Well, let's look at this now. On the 8th day, now this brings us, and we're just getting into this, okay? But Leviticus 23, verse 36 says this. And this is speaking specifically in regards to the Feast of Tabernacles. In the Feast of Tabernacles, even today, Messianic believers, Jews, will go out into the wilderness or outside their house, and they'll build beautiful homemade tents out of harvest material, stuff from the earth. We love a lot of times going to the Fruit Loop and going around in the fall and getting apples and pears and cinnamon rolls and all this kind of thing, right? Stuff from harvest. It's harvest time. It's interesting. It's actually called the last harvest, the fruit harvest. So they build tents and they go out and they leave holes in this so they can look up into the sky and see if any guests from heaven are coming. This is wonderful when you study these things out, right? How many know we should be watching? Is he coming? Here's the beautiful thing. As a born-again Christian, you are the tabernacle. Your body, your spirit. Now, all these things are symbolic, but it's good to know you yourself are who he's coming for. Glory to God. And on this day, at the end of that 1,000 years, when God steps in, that's judgment day, and the fire comes, after all that is done, and evil is completely rid of this planet, a new heavens and a new earth, that is when the holy city, which is God's tabernacle. You think you build a cool tabernacle. Just wait till we see, I mean, gates of pearl and streets of gold. And I mean, read it. It's in the Word. It's coming down out of heaven. And it's a new heavens and a new earth. Day 8. Day 8 never ends. Day 8 is eternity. Day 8 means time stands still. Glory to God. Amen. Well, Leviticus 23:36, for 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire. This is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. How long did it take to get to this point? 7,000 years. So there he says, right? For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire. Somebody say fire, right? For the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by, somebody say fire. What's going to happen to this planet? Somebody say it's going to burn. Not forever. Somebody say we're going somewhere here, right? Pastor Steve's not making this up, okay? I had a dream. You know, I needed something crazy to preach, so I'm just going to make... No. I found a book in the ground. It had something else. We're not talking about that, right? You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It's a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work on it. Malachi 4:1 says this, Malachi, an accredited prophet of God, right? For behold, the day is coming. Somebody say, the day is coming. The eighth day is coming. Hallelujah for the first seven, but the eighth day. Oh, my. Now, he's not saying that. That's coming from me and the Holy Ghost, that part, right? For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. Now, that's not a reason for us to go, yay! I really believe that is why it says, I will wipe away the tears from their eyes. Because he says that at the end of the seventh day, when we've been ruling and reigning. Why is he saying that? Because we're not going to like watching what these people have to go through. Cast into the lake of fire. That's going to bother us. Why didn't you listen? And he'll wipe away. He's like, guys, it's over. Let it go. Only he can say that. Amen. The day is coming, shall set them ablaze. This is Malachi, right? Says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them with neither root nor branch. It's over. Not a root of evil left on the planet. 2 Peter 3 talks about this. Let's turn there. 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter hung out with Jesus a lot and got corrected by Jesus a lot, right? So if Peter got corrected by Jesus a lot, I'm probably going to get corrected by Jesus a lot too, right? But I want to read to you this chapter. We're you know, heading toward the backside here. Beloved, somebody just say, he loves me. Because in all this, it can almost create a fear, and there should be a respectful fear to God. But he's daddy. But he's also judge. But it's always important to come back to, he loves me. Why is he doing this? Because he loves me. Right? I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. These are reminders. These are reminders. I'll say it again. These are reminders. Right? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles, and of the Lord, and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and they were and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all these things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this is, they will willingly forget by the word of the Lord God, the heavens and the of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. I'm going to read that scripture again because I'm bouncing around. For this they will willfully forget. Somebody say, they willfully forget. Some do. The word ignorance has the word ignore in it. I can't say, well, officer, yesterday while I was driving home on I-5, right? Well, officer, it just said 70. What do you mean it's 45 here? Did you see the orange signs everywhere and the orange barrels and the 45? You ignored it. Right? By the word of the Lord of heavens, were of old and of the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that had existed perished, being flooded by water, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire. Somebody say, reserved for fire, right? Until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, verse 8, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. See, to God, this is literally 8 days. 7 days, a week until we get to day eight. How many know there is no day eight in a week? Day eight is outside the realm of the familiar. Why? Because it's not time. It's outside of the realm of time. Right? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. That's why he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for someone else to come to Christ. Yesterday, there were guys preaching the gospel to everyone coming out of that stadium and going into that stadium, almost to the point of rudeness. But you know what? If just one of them comes to Jesus because of that, it's all worth it. Hallelujah. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to come to repentance, right? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So don't like your car too much, or your house too much, or this building. It's all going to burn up. How many know we should live very loosely connected to things in this world? They're for us to enjoy, but better stuff's coming. Somebody say travel light. Doesn't mean don't have anything. Just don't let things have you. Don't be too in love with a sports team. Because you know what? Autzen Stadium, somebody will shout hallelujah. It's going to burn. But not yesterday, I tell you. Oh, mercy. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in this holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. He said it again. Oh my goodness, he said it again. Right? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens. Somebody say new. And new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Now, as long as you're here on this planet, righteousness is dwelling here because you are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. But it's going to get better. It's going to be changed. Right? Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Amen. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. There are people that use the word of God, just like the devil, right, to twist it. Make it sound like they can live in fornication or live on drugs or live on, you know, with multiple gods I can be sick, I can be broke, all these things God might have put this on me, or to take God's holy word and twist it to make it say what they want it to say, right? For their own pleasure, whatever it is, with their own power. There's people right now in our leadership of this nation taking our Constitution that is based on the Word of God and trying to twist it for the transgender. How many know George Washington did not do what he did for someone to say that they can teach a kindergartner that they might be a girl if they're a boy? That's ridiculous. Taking a holy thing and twisting it to make it perverse. That sounds just exactly like the devil, doesn't it? So we're not acting like him. He's the enemy, right? You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Somebody say amen. So we have to be on guard against the spirit of deception that is on this planet, even among Christians. Amen? Christians that might be on social media saying a bunch of trash that we know in the Word of God is not true. We don't follow that stuff, even if they're a minister. Right? Right? Glory to God, right? So we stay in love with Jesus, listen to His Word, listen to His apostles and prophets and the epistles and the Word of God, and stay with Him. Stick close to Him. Because it's real easy for us as Christians to say, aha, that's all about this whole day eight thing. That's what's going to happen to the sinners and to the world. But there are some people, we know what this book says, that will stand before the Lord. And He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, didn't we lay hands on the sick? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do this in your name and that in your name? Come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus. Depart from me, I never knew you. That is unthinkable, unimaginable. We have to keep ourselves in check. Hallelujah. Stay in love with Jesus. I heard a minister once say that, you know, because that specific reference is talking about people that are like Word of Faith kind of people, that lay hands on the sick, that bind the devil. So his thing was, he threw the baby out with the bathwater. He's like, so therefore, I don't ever do that. Then I'll never hear that. No. That's not what it's talking about. Not what it's talking about. That's probably the guy, I'm just stepping out on a limb here, one example maybe, the guy that's doing that on Sunday and then sleeping with somebody besides his wife and thinking it's okay. One example. I never knew you. Yes, the name worked, their faith worked, my word worked, but you're out. I never knew you. Right? We have to stay plugged in to Jesus 24/7. 24/7. We are in His service forever. And forever starts now, church. Hallelujah. One reason I think, you know, a lot of these, I talk a little football now this time of year, but there's some teams that are just so, like the other night, I was watching these teams playing in Brazil, out of their frame of reference. Brazilians filling the stadium. But one team, Lacey will say amen, was a lot more disciplined. The other team had won multiple championships, had the star on there, all the stars, everybody knows them, but they were out of sync, running into each other, misfiring. The other team, extremely disciplined. All the fundamentals. How many know we have to stay no matter what happened yesterday or who we think we are? We have to stay disciplined about being in the fundamentals of our faith every single day. Because what happens in practice will happen in the game. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll close with this. When it talks about being transformed by fire, listen to the word fire here. Fire, this is one good definition I found. Intense heat from fire separates impurities, consumes them from a precious metal, transforming it and leaving it pure. You know, heaven's gold is like translucent. You can see right through it. Purest gold is like, what we're talking about is this fire that's coming from God is going to literally separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And that has nothing to do with how good I was. That has to do with my faith in the blood. Right there. Right? But any impurity on this planet, any trace of it, is going to be separated once and for all time in that moment. Somebody say glory to God. Right? Intense heat separates impurities. It's going to literally consume any impurity, any curse, any sin. We can't be like Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote gets an anvil and just hangs on to it. He's still falling and he's hanging on to it and he's falling and falling and falling. Right? I had a vision of that the other day. Like if someone has an anvil and they fall into the water, what should they do? Let go of the anvil. Oh, yeah, but just a little bit. I know I need to repent, but I just, one more drag, one more hit, one more sexual experience, one more gossip moment, and I'm going to let go. But I just a few more, how many know, a few more seconds, and you may not make it back to the surface alive. So it's time to do what? Let go. Let go. And let Jesus just bring you back up out of that. Glory to God. Now, people have died in that place before, spiritually speaking, and their body died, but he hears the heart cry. You know what, Jesus? I've gone too far. I did too much wrong. And they die in their sin. But in that moment, they cry out, and he saves them. Absolutely. As long as they didn't go to hell yet, saves them. But people don't have to get to that point. They can release that thing and just say, you know what, this is going to kill me. If I continue to do this, if I don't let go of this, it's going to kill me. Therefore, I'm going to let go. Turn my life over to Jesus. Hallelujah forevermore. He is the Savior. Glory to God. But there's coming a time where that fire of God is literally going to separate the pure from the impure and literally change the literal planet in all the heavens and everything. We see that in the Word. And finally, Matthew, this is where we plug ourselves in as well here. Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says this, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now that's the fire that the Christian must have in operation, can have. It's available to us. That's why the devil has created such controversy about the Holy Ghost. Now again, they can't have the people acting like every... I heard a story again this week of a businessman that his wife is leaving him, Christian people, because the Holy Spirit said, leave him. No reason. Just, the Holy Spirit told me. Somebody say, know your Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's not the Holy Spirit. Oh no, there's another spirit speaking that can disguise his voice. Like I'm getting these AI, I don't know if you know, you're getting these AI sales calls right now. You answer your phone, click. Hi, this is Emily. Can you hear me? Hello? It's a robot. I can tell it's not Emily. It's AI Emily. And sometimes I just start singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Emily, did you know Jesus loves you and has died for you? Yet, click, they hang up. It's a robot. It's not a real person. And they want to tell me about Medicare or whatever it is. Hi, this is Jesus. Leave your husband. I'll help you. Just follow me. I'm the Holy Spirit. No, you're not. You're the angel of light. You're the devil. And I rebuke that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when it says that he came to baptize me in the Holy Ghost in fire, that is telling me Jesus is really interested in impurities being burned out of my own life. So while we're celebrating these things and teaching on these things, let's keep that in mind, that this fire of God is on me to empower me to serve him. To empower me to live holy, to empower me to have faith, to empower me to preach the gospel, to obey him. Right? So I can't just be thinking, oh, that's just a word for the world. That's a word for the sinners. No, that's a word for Steve right now, at the time of this message being taught. And wherever time, maybe you're listening to this later. Right? Somebody say, it's for right now, for Steve. To be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, and may the Heavenly Father, by the power of His Word and by the Holy Ghost, purify my heart. Purify. Separate any impurities, rottenness, unbelief, doubt, traditions, love for other things to continually keep me in love and in touch with Jesus. That's what this is all about. Amen? And then we will be effective utensils in the master's hands to prepare people for this. I'll tell you, this is coming. And it looks, I chose the eight-year-old, I just searched eight-year-old birthday candle because it's fire on the number eight. And it's a celebration, man. Oh, we're looking forward to this. But right now, let's live for him now. And stay in love with him and stay on fire for him. Glory to God. Let's all stand up and we'll pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and just say, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for day eight. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you speak. You're on the throne. You're on, and most importantly, Lord, we declare you on the throne of our hearts, of our lives. And we thank you that this day is coming when evil will literally be gone, non-existent. And with all that in mind, we thank you, Lord, that today, somebody say today, your Holy Spirit is here to burn up anything in my own life that just needs to go. Hallelujah. We receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, that fresh fire of God that's always fresh, always now, to purify our hearts, purify our motives, purify our thought life, purify our words, purify our schedules, purify our to-do lists, purify us financially, spiritually, sexually, financially, physically in our bodies, than any impurities even in our own bodies that just need to go. We receive that fire of God, that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you've never prayed in the Holy Ghost before, we're going to lead you in a prayer and to receive the Spirit of God. The only prerequisite is that you receive Jesus as Lord of your life. If you're listening to this and you say, well, I need to do that first, then you just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I confess every sin before you. I forsake sin and I choose Jesus. I thank you that you died and rose again for me, that I'm going to heaven someday. Hallelujah. I'll be there on day eight with you. I'll be there on day eight with you. But Father God, most importantly, I'll be today with you. I'm right now with you in faith and in the Word of God and in my trust toward you. And then, Father God, because I'm born again, your Word declares that I can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus rose again to send the Holy Ghost. And I receive the Holy Spirit of God to make me holy. I know I am the righteous of God by Christ Jesus, but I choose holiness in every area of my life. And I receive that fire of the Holy Ghost to fill me, to equip me for service to the kingdom of God, make me an effective witness for Jesus, to purify me. And I receive my heavenly prayer language today. That is evidence of being full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now just begin to pray in the Spirit. Shalababe ki la rababashondo. Ke la rababashite ke la lababashondo. Ko la lababashite ne ne. Ya lababashite la rababananando no no. Ke la rebebe shi la 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 ma lo lo. Hallelujah, Lord. You can use that prayer language to edify yourself, build yourself up in your faith. You can use it as a worship, a time of worship to Jesus. You can use it as a tool of intercession for others, warfare. The point is, use it. Somebody say, you got a gun? Use it. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pray it again. Sholova bikela rava ba shetene ke lana. Oh, it's the power of God. The power of God filling our lives. Oh, we receive you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in every area of our lives. And thank you for these words today. In Jesus' name, say amen.